Oh, friends, happy Friday. We are back with another episode, and I'm excited. I'm always excited every week because really cool people have been on the podcast in this season, and we have another really awesome gal who loves community just as much as I do. Brooklyn White is the founder and executive director of an organization called To Bridge to Another, which cultivates unity and peace through authentic connection by bringing restoration, empowerment, education, and activation to global bridge builders. She's a community developer by heart and profession who is deeply passionate about co-creating healthy and whole communities. She loves connecting with others and creating safe spaces for people to connect to one another. She spends most of her time developing and implementing structural programming that allows for unity and peace to be the natural byproduct of authentic connections between individuals and in communities. Y'all, oh my gosh, she speaks my language and my heart, and she does it so freaking well. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this podcast episode. Brooklyn is a gem. I have loved just seeing what the Lord has done through her in the past couple years and how he truly just unravels the person and walks them right into what he has for them, and not even just them, but all the people around them. Brooklyn is amazing. She's an amazing gal. I'm super excited for you to listen. Again, I think I already said that. Let's get into this episode. Welcome to the Fearlessly Fit Faith podcast. Here we are going from striving to thriving in what the Lord has for us, and we do this through caring for our whole person. This season, we are getting to talk with people from all across the United States about how we can care for ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and environmentally. All of this helps us to be more well-rounded and able to steward the life that the Lord has for us. Let's get into this podcast episode. So first, tell us some about you. Who are you and what are some of the things that make you you?
So my name is Brooklyn, as you know, and I am deeply passionate about community development, co-creating communities both with myself and with others. And I also really, really care about iced coffee as a concept. And I always get it extra sweet and extra creamy. And I feel like that is just an exemplified process of who God has called me to be, but extra sweet, extra creamy. But so I'm very passionate about communities and community development and seeing communities be whole and well.
I love it. And we're similar in that. Like, I just love it so much. Okay, so Fearlessly Fit Faith is all about living fearlessly in obedience to God, living fit in our whole person, so spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and environmentally, while also having the faith to pursue God's will for our lives. How would you say that you're doing this already, and what areas would you say that you need to grow in?
So starting with the growth area, because I was thinking about this a lot, I think of the fearlessly fit faith part. The fearless part is the one that I'm working on most intensely, I think, in this season, but also for most of my development as a person. And I think, like, in order to walk in your whole person and your whole self, there is that element of fearlessness that's required. And you can't walk in your whole person and you can't walk in the person God's created you to be without this level of fearlessness. And I think even fear of rejection or fear of, you know, people misunderstanding you, that silences your voice, and that silences your ability to walk in your whole person and to walk in your whole self. And so I think one area that I am still working on and still growing through is walking in fearlessness to actually just show up as the person God has called me to be and show up as the whole person. And so you can't show up as your whole self without walking through fear of being who you are. And so I think one thing on that stream that I do that well is, like, it's a continuous daily thing for me where I wake up every day and I'm like, today's the day, another day where you're going to walk in fearlessness. Yeah. And it's like every day I know God's calling me to something that is, like, beyond my comfort zone. And so every day. I'm like, God, like, I'm trusting you that if this is what you're calling me to, that you're going to protect me from whatever I'm afraid of. You're going to protect me from whatever is on the other side of this. And so, I think something that I do well in terms of like whole person is just trusting God to protect what he is calling me up into. So, yeah.
That's good. I love that. So that's something that I've thought a lot about as well. Cause it's living fearlessly in obedience to God. And like, that's something that we often struggle with because we're human and it's like, no, like that's just too far out there. Like, I don't want to do that. But like, when he's calling us to something and like, we're even disobedient for like a split second, like, oh man, I felt convicted of that just earlier this week. I was like, oh my gosh. I knew that this transition in my life was to step into the fullness of like what he had, but like, yeah. I'm just sitting here like, oh my gosh, it's so much. Like, I'm so overwhelmed. But like, at the end of the day, like, he's going to work it all out. And we just have to like, know that he's going to do that. And like, he will. So yeah. I love that.
Something that like the Lord has been teaching me over the last like 5 years probably is like, you can either walk in fear or you can walk in trust in God that he'll see it through. And so it's like, our human nature is to fear and to have worries and to be anxious over things, but it's an intentional choice to be like, no, but I trust God in this. I trust that he will see this through. And so, yeah, it's our natural human desire to be like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's also like, God is so gracious in being like, it's okay. I got you. I'll see you through.
Right.
And so it's an intentional choice always.
Yes. Okay, so go ahead and give it to us. What is it that you do?
So I am the founder and executive director of this incredible organization called To Bridge to Another. And I am so stoked that I get to do this for my everyday life. It is an organization that is dedicated to cultivating unity and peace through authentic connection. And so we basically facilitate connection for others in order for people to feel less alone and more connected, but also so that a natural byproduct of that in the earth is unity and peace. And so I just am so excited that I get to run connection initiatives all the time, and it's so fun. And so, yeah, that's what I'm about. That's what I do.
I love it so much. It's just so awesome and something that a lot of people don't realize that we need, you know? Yeah. Like, I remember after I finished college and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I moved back home and I was like, how am I going to find connections? Like, I had remembered the area that I grew up in, not to be an area where like people made a lot of connections, but obviously the Lord showed out and like, I know like super great people from back home. So yeah, like we need it so much. Like, it helps us like push on into like what he has for us and just like helps us to do life better, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, we do life best with people. So
absolutely we do.
I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So how has the Lord shaped you to pursue this call that you feel is on your life?
Oh man. I think just like massive trial and error and like his grace to just, you know, see me through in terms of learning and growing and stepping more and more into the person that he's called me to be. I think the shaping process was through trial and error of, you know, trying it the world's way in terms of like, well, this is what I think, like, you know, is most safe. And so as he calls me out of that, in terms of like what I feel most comfortable with, he's calling me into like what I'm most uncomfortable with, which is, you know, often your calling. And so I think the shaping process has literally just been me surrendering and abiding to what he has for me. Yeah. And just like continuing to show up as like the person I know he is calling me to be versus the person that like would be perfectly fine to just never, you know, show up in the ways he's asking me to. And so it's very much like this walking through fear process and showing up even though I'm terrified too. And so
Ooh, and it's like, oh man, I just love it because it's like in that terror that like just beautiful things happen. And I have always like loved a challenge, just like loved walking through that, because I'm like, in my mind I'm just like, man, I'm gonna grow so much from this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, if I didn't have that mindset, like, I would be stuck in, like just different, like, mental spaces that just weren't healthy, you know? And, like, that's what happens when we just, like, don't move in that, and, like, and we're not, like, okay, like, the Lord is with me in this, like, he's gonna do something with this, even though, like, it was a failure or something that was just, like, terrible, you know? Like, he's gonna work it all out. So, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Okay, so how did you get started with To Bridge to Another, and how did you find this as a passion, as a call to, like, do work?
So one thing I've learned is don't be afraid to start, even if it's not the right thing the first time. Mm-hmm. And so when we first started, we, like, 3 years ago launched as this girls ministry called the Kindred Hearts. And I think you were kicking around for that.
Yeah.
you were featured on our page when we were running the Kindred Hearts. I remember that. And so we were this girls ministry, and it was incredible. Honestly, it was this beautiful season of life. And then God called us to open up the ministry to include males as well. And so I was like, I'm pretty sure males aren't going to, like, subscribe to the Kindred Hearts, because that's just not a male name. And so then we became the Philea Collective, and Philea is the Greek word for friend. And then there was just, like, this wrestling in my spirit where I was like, this still isn't it. Yeah. And I was like, Jesus, like, I know, like, I'm almost there, but I'm not quite there. Mm-hmm. And so then I sat down with, like, my closest people around me, and my brother actually played a huge role in being like, are you, like, do you feel at home? Like, do you feel like this is, like, the specific one that God has for you? And I was like, I'm not sure. And so I prayed about it, and To Bridge to Another resulted from that. And so I think, like, it's been hard because I've kind of transitioned publicly. And so that's been hard for my heart too, because I'm like, this, I swear this is the last round. but I feel like the, like, even the process of just, like, beginning, even if it's not the right one, and God will just refine and refine. And I often look back on, like, the Kindred Hearts, and it's so easy for my heart to feel sad, because that was such a beautiful time of my life. But God reminds me that, like, in order for you to be where you are now, you needed the Kindred Hearts.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
And you needed the Kindred Hearts at that age that you were. And so it's just, like, learning to be okay with the progression, and learning to be okay with the growing up in who God is calling you to be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's also learning to be okay with change if that's what God is calling you to. Yeah. And yeah, like, learning what you feel most at home with. And so, yeah.
I love that you say at home, because I don't think I've, like, ever thought about it that way, but it makes a lot of sense, like, because when I'm doing stuff for Fearlessly Fit Faith, like, I feel at home, and, like, it makes me happy, like, it's something that brings me a lot of peace, like, just being able to hop on different podcast interviews, or, like, say, oh my gosh, like, this podcast episode is live, like, go listen, like, it makes me happy, because it's something, like, that the Lord has for me to do, and, like, I'm just, like, stewarding it, so I love that. Like, that's I've never thought about it that way.
Well, I always say that the Lord leads with his peace. And so usually you feel peace at home. And so when I at least feel at home, I feel at peace. And so wherever you feel at peace is mm-hmm. usually where you feel at home. And so if you don't feel at peace in something that you're doing, even for the kingdom, that could be a sign that, like, that's not your right fit. And so I even say, like, there's seasons where, because the Kindred Hearts, when I was running the Kindred Hearts, I felt completely at home in that season. But as I grew and as I got older, I started to not feel as at home, because I knew that God was calling me into something new. And so I think giving yourself grace to understand that you'll feel at home in different things in different seasons, and that's okay. And so learning to be okay with your home changing, and, like, what you consider home now to be changing is okay as well. Because that was something I struggled with so much, was, like, I feel like I miss the Kindred Hearts sometimes. And, you know, like, that was my home for so long. And so I'm so thankful for that journey. But I also am okay with the fact that I feel more at home now in To Bridge to Another, because the person I am now, you know, that God has called me and, like, grown me up to be, feels more at home now here. So yeah, it's learning to be okay with that.
Yeah, that's good too, because before we hopped on, I was talking about just like the overwhelm, or no, I actually said that on here, but just like the overwhelm of this next season, and like none of the stuff that I'm doing is like not what the Lord would like have me to do, like in this time, and like I know it's going to be a season like where he's just expanding me, and like I'm finding that sense of home in like the different things that I'm doing, like having just moved and having just like meeting a lot of people and stuff. So oh my gosh, I'm gonna think about that more now.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh.
Okay, so what are some of the ways that you can trace this passion back through your life? So creating connections, and how can you see the ways that God has shaped you for what you're doing right now?
So I think the way I can trace like where it all started was in all of the moments that I felt intense loneliness and isolation, and like To Bridge to Another was birthed out of my story and the stories of people around me. And it was birthed out of this place of like intense loneliness and like isolation from feeling misunderstood, from feeling like no one would notice, no one would notice whether I was in the room or not. Mm-hmm. And I would test this theory and like leave events early and see if somebody would reach out, or, you know, like doing these things that I knew would like prove the point that I was lonely and isolated, which I look back now with fondness. but I think like for me, so much of my story has been centered around connection, or I always say like connection agreements that we make with other people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just like so much of my heart and the reason I care so deeply about connection is because for so long I never felt connected, and I never felt like I was seen or known or loved even in those things. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it all came from, was not feeling like I had a community. So I kind of created my own.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like the Lord has kind of done that same thing with me too, because mm-hmm. like I grew up in like in high school, I didn't like people all that much. But now I'm just like, man, like I'm introverted, but I'd never use that as an excuse, because many people do. But like I still go out and like I meet people, and I'm like, this is like what I was created for, and I love it. And just like being around people and like hearing their stories, like that wasn't once me. So like it's cool to see how the Lord can like redeem a thing and then like use it for his good. Like that's what he does.
Absolutely. And I often find that like whatever your calling is, that's where the struggle will be. And so mm-hmm. because the Lord knew I was being called into connection and stuff, the enemy was like, well, I'm gonna like allow you to struggle with isolation and loneliness. And so like I find that the attack is most strong in the area that you're called to. Mm. And so it's like whatever you feel passionate about is usually what you yourself will also struggle with. And I think we as like humans carry such shame over that, because we're like, well, if we're the ones like pioneering these things in these areas, we shouldn't struggle with them. And I'm like, but we're also human beings,
right? So and that makes sense too, because I'm reading this book called Leading with a Limp, and it's all about like using our weaknesses to lead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, it makes me think of that, because like, if we don't have those weaknesses and like those areas, like where we need growth in, like, it's just harder to be able to like help and like serve other people.
Yeah. I think
there's just something about like weakness that like humbles us in a way. Mm-hmm. And like spurs us on to lead in like whatever capacity that the Lord has us in.
Yeah. And who better to like empathize or lead people like than that somebody who understands, like than somebody who says like, I get it. I was there. I totally understand. That would feel inauthentic if you actually didn't understand. Right. So I think like having empathy towards like actually understanding their struggle really helps as leadership. So
yes, for sure. Okay, so what are some crucial steps that brought you to this point? So I know that you said you started 3 years ago with the Kindred Hearts. Was there anything else like intermingled with that that like brought you here?
So I think one of my biggest things is, I talk about this all the time, but I really struggled I'm going to say it's past tense, but still sometimes present tense, with perfectionism. And so perfectionism is something for me that has been a really intense, really labor intensive healing journey. And I really believe that like this was an intentional choice of the enemy to try and silence my voice. And because you can't walk in boldness and you can't make waves or make influence in your area if your voice is muzzled or if your voice is silent. And so like something that has been really crucial for me is walking through perfectionism in order to step in to the voice that I know God has called me to. And so that's like, that's been so, so crucial, is not being afraid of what others think, and so that I can speak knowing what God wants me to say.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think we forget that sometimes. Okay, so why is what you do important to you and also the people you serve?
I think it's important to me, but also to others, because we're hardwired for connection. Like, we were literally created to be in community and connection with other people. And so every person longs to belong and longs to be in community. And I, like, I don't know if you've ever felt like intense loneliness or like, you know, been in seasons of isolation, whether by choice or whether, you know, whether you found yourself there. And it's just this like dreadful feeling of your heart to just like want to be surrounded by people and want to be, you know, in community with others and not have access to that. And so like so many people who I've talked to, they literally don't know how to like make a friend or to get connected or like, where do I go, you know, to find these things. And so even like just my heartbeat is to see people pulled out of isolation and into community. And I think that's just really important for all of us.
Yeah. And that's just so true. Like, I don't know. I'm like, Lord, like, how did you make me to be able to like, just go out and like, meet people, like, so I think about that often, but that's true, like, some people just, like, don't know, like, it's, like, where do I begin, and honestly, like, social media is such a beautiful tool, like, so when I had moved back home after college, I had found this cute little boutique, and I had just gone in there to, like, grab a coffee and, like, look at the stuff that she had. I ended up finding a Bible study and making a friend all at the same time, just because I used social media to find a boutique that I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
I met a woman who led me to a Bible study, then led me to other amazing women. And sometimes I think we just think too hard about it.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, so I love that. That's definitely like something that people struggle with. And like, I've struggled with that too, because it's like, I remember I got to college and I didn't have that many people. Like, I didn't have anybody that I talked to from high school. And like, I remember like one of my roommates would just be like, why don't you talk to anybody? And I was like, you know,
about that.
I know. Yeah. Like, I didn't know how to answer that at the time. But like now I look back and I'm like, I had secluded myself. Like, I didn't want to be vulnerable. I wasn't seeking the connection. So, and like, I had friends in high school, but it was kind of like that, oh, like, we're just friends for like now. But then like, I've connected with some like after college and like we're friends and like, it's awesome, but it's just, it's weird, like those seasons in between. But
yeah. And even like being like, you were in college and you were surrounded by people, but you didn't feel connected to them. And so there's also that part where people can be in communities and people can, like, on the outside it looks like they have this active community life, but not actually feel connected at all. And so like, where's the disconnect? And like, I think about this all the time, like, what actually truly connects us and what actually makes us feel connected? Because I don't think simply like sitting in this space like is enough. So yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Oh my gosh. So I'm just going to go ahead and say this. You're going to have to come on for another episode.
Oh my gosh.
And we are going to talk about that. So like, a big part of living whole is our lives socially and like how we're connecting. So yes, we're going to put that on pause and we're going to come back to that.
I am so excited. I could talk about connection for days.
Yes. Like, I could keep going, but we go pause. Okay, so what are some struggles that you've had in your area of work and how do you push through?
I think the perfectionism one is just the main one that I just keep coming back to time and time again, because it's so significant in terms of being a leader or being, you know, I don't even like to say someone of influence, but when you have like a voice in a community, there is like a certain, you know, I don't really know how to describe it, but there's something that comes with that. And yeah. So like, I think showing up authentically always in my connections with others and not being afraid to show up as I am. And yeah, like fear of rejection is just such like, it's such a struggle for me on the regular. And so just learning to walk through that in order to show up authentically is just the ongoing one.
Hold on. So what are some struggles that you've had in your area of work and how did you push through?
So I think, as I was saying before, perfectionism is this ongoing struggle for me in kind of every area of my life. And it really does affect like whole person self, because perfectionism can show up in every single area of your life in a different way. It just looks different. And so I think like learning to walk in whole person self, both as a human, but as like someone in leadership, really overcoming perfectionism is just me walking in the truest identity of who God's called me to be and learning to be okay with that, even if people misunderstand me. And so I think that's just one of my ongoing forever things that I'm walking through as a leader, is just learning to show up as my whole self authentically and be okay with that.
Yeah. And just like thinking about that, I think like for me too, I don't really know how to explain it, because like there's pieces of like rejection in there, but sometimes I like hold myself back from sharing things. And I'm like, I don't really know like why I do it, but I know it's like definitely like a fear within me that like if I step out fully, like what's gonna happen? Like where's the Lord gonna take me? And like that's something that like I've been working through in this season, because I made this move like knowing that like I am going to step out and the Lord is going to do something, and I have no idea, like, I have no idea what it's going to be, and, like, things are just now falling into place, and I've been here for 3 months, like, like, I'm just now, like, getting a lot of clarity, and, like, that was one of the things that I was praying for, like, when I first got here, but it ended up just being, like, a lot of healings. So, like, He works in mysterious ways, but, so, like, I don't know, like, that's good.
I feel like you and I are created very similarly in terms of, we're like, Lord, you have my yes, and I'll do it even if I don't know like what's gonna, like what fruit is gonna come of that. And so it's like learning to trust even when we don't see the fruit yet. And so I feel like we're created very similarly in that way, and we'll like hold back because we're not really, we don't have like a steady ground quite yet in terms of like knowing what. So we'll be like, well, I'm not going to show up fully in this area quite yet until like I know for certain, you know, that this is what God is asking me to step into. But you and I are so similar in that way, where we're like, we're here, we're showing up, and we're just gonna like figure it out.
Yes. And I think that's what helps me too, like I have that sense of like, okay, like I'm just gonna figure it out, but then at the same time I'm like, oh man, like what'll happen, you know?
yeah it's funny because we're also like intense planners, and like our callings simultaneously like don't allow for much of like planning, and I'm like, Jesus, you know, because you know I try and plan the whole thing myself. So you're like, I'm not gonna allow you to do that.
It's like, if I could, I would plan everything down to the T. I would, but like that is something that I've learned, and like just the whole, I keep bringing it up, but like the whole process with moving, like if I had planned that, it would turn out way differently. Like, number one, I wouldn't have gotten here until like July, and I got here in March. Like, like it's definitely just like the Lord and like Him doing what He wants to do, and like just taking our plans and be like, no, you know. So He's so good.
He is. He's so gracious to our humanness.
So has there been a moment in time where you hit a bump in the road, you felt stuck, unseen, or just unsure of what to do next? And what did you do to get past that?
I think every day there's a moment where I feel stuck or, you know, like trying to walk in the fullness of who I am. There's always these moments where you feel unseen at first, and then you know in order to walk in it, people will see you in that. And so I think something that I've had to learn over time is what's called grit, where like you just like white knuckle it and you're like, I refuse to give up on this, even though like every audit seems is against me. Yeah. Or like there's so many like technology issues that happen all the time, or like, you know, things like things that come out of nowhere that, like, for example, one day our website just completely crashed and I had to rebuild the whole thing. And so I think there's just like, when you're trying to walk in the calling, there's certain things that will come up and you just have to like, just keep going. And it's an intentional choice to just like keep showing up. But understanding that if you're trying to make influence and trying to make waves for the kingdom, like there's natural, you know, like spiritual attacks that will come from that. And so just like having people pray for you and having people in your corner to sit with you and to help you like push forward is just so important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And something that I've been doing a lot of as well is like inviting people in to pray. And then also seeking people out to like come in and like serve alongside me, because I'm just like, Lord, like what in the world? But yeah, that's good. I think grit is like something that we don't often think about. And like, if we do think about it, it's like, oh, like, let me pull up my bootstraps, you know, in like that kind of way. But no, like really, like it's just a toughening of like our armor and like
absolutely
relying on the Lord and saying like, hey, like, I'm going through this, like it sucks, but you're here and you have people walking alongside me. Like, that's great. And like, that refines us. And like, as we go through different seasons of life, like we're just going to look back and I'm like, dang, like that season prepared me for this right now. Like,
oh yes,
I can get through this, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I think the calling isn't always glamorous as much as people would like it to be. And it does require you to like roll up your sleeves and get like your hands dirty in terms of like doing the work and showing up. And like, there are so many parts of like, you know, the calling that isn't glamorous, but like, I love those parts because they refine me and they teach me and they grow me as a person. And so I think it's just like not expecting it to always be like, you know, these beautiful moments, but like there's moments that are really hard, and being prepared for that and not, and knowing you can't do it by yourself in the same way, like we are hardwired for community and connection. I think when we embark on our callings, it's the same thing. We can't do them in isolation. Right. And so that's one thing I work on all the time too, is learning to invite people into my process. And so, yeah, even at To Bridge to Another, we have a culture guide, and one of them, culture guide rule number four, is do not do things in isolation that should be done in community. And so it's learning that like, you shouldn't do things in isolation that are meant to be done in community, and inviting people into your process is crucial to being successful.
Yeah. So,
ooh, yeah.
So crucial. Okay. So this is a short question. How do you keep courage alive? So like we talked about, like it's not easy. Like you're going to have to get your hands dirty. Like you may cry some days. How do you keep courage alive?
Honestly, I think it's just an intentional choice. Mm-hmm. I think like courage is something that you have to choose, whether like you choose it yourself or whether there's a situation that's happened where you still have to like choose in relation to it. But courage really for me is an intentional choice to show up courageously, because you can like allow the opportunities to just like, you know, totally take you out. But you can also choose to let it, you know, better you. And yeah, I think it's just an intentional choice always.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I think about it and like, sometimes it's just like a moment where we're like, okay, like God, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Like partnering with him and walking through it with him, because I mean, yes, like we intentionally choose to be courageous, but it could be really easy to like then rely all on our own strength when like, no, like that's not how it's supposed to be at all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So how does your specific work affect you as a whole person? So what parts of your whole person do you think are challenged the most?
I think every part, because like To Bridge to Another is kind of like who Brooklyn is in Christ as a person kind of on display. I think like every part of me gets challenged in some way, just by like running this organization. And so I think it's learning to just extend myself grace always. But it does affect me in terms of every possible way. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. Cause I sometimes feel like, well, no, like it's true. Like Fiercely Fit Faith is just kind of like who I am almost. Yeah. And it's like, this is what I want to live out and like share with other people. So the Lord has even been like convicting me there and like, hey, like, what are you doing? You know, I'm like, I could do a lot better with like caring for my whole person so that I can like truly be a light to people. And like, hey, yeah, like this is good. And it's honoring like to care for who we are. So yeah. Okay. So how does your day to day affect your relationships with friends and family?
Good question. I think, like, again, because our callings are kind of just like who we are, I think it's really hard to separate like personal and professional life. And like, I could talk about To Bridge to Another 24/7, but my community is really good in the sense that they're like, okay, we're going to watch a movie now and you're going to turn your brain off for an hour and a half and you're going to rest because otherwise you're going to burn out. And so like my brain is constantly so active that like I could talk about it all the time to whoever. And so it's learning to, I'm like really terrible at rest. And so I have to be very intentional about resting so that I don't burn out. And so like having community that keeps me accountable to rest is like so important for my well-being. And so like even making the intentional choice to like close my computer and be like, okay, I'm done now for today. And then like picking it up on my phone and being like, no, you closed your computer. You don't pick it up on your phone. So like being intentional about like actually spending time, like because I run an organization dedicated to community, I also need to make sure that I'm also in community. Yeah. rather than like, you know, facilitating community and connection for others, but not for myself. Mm-hmm. And so in order to run To Bridge to Another Well, I also need to be pursuing connection and community on my own. Mm-hmm. And having like fun life moments outside of, you know, work. And so choosing to rest and choosing to have fun and choosing to be a human in other areas is kind of, yeah. So learning to have separation is really important for me.
Yeah, so I just finished reading Ecclesiastes, and like it makes me think like our work would be meaningless like if we weren't doing like what it is that the Lord has placed on our heart, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if we weren't being human and having fun, like yes, the Lord created us with assignments and like things to do here on earth, but I mean it would be kind of silly not to enjoy all that's out there for us to like have, you know, like he placed it there for our enjoyment, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. And like, that's something that I think about because like, it's really easy to just like work. But at the end of the day, like, okay, like that's good in a sense, but then at the same time, it's bad because it's like, you're working, but like, are you truly honoring the Lord in that? Like, he wants you to go out and have fun. Like, that's not a bad thing, like, you know? Yeah. So
you could work 12 hours a day and be busy, but like, are you honoring the Lord in everything that you're doing? You know, like, busy is not a badge of honor. And, you know, it's like choosing to, you know, do the work and put in the work, but also understanding how honoring God plays a role in that as well.
Yeah. And I always get frustrated. I need not to, because like we're all humans, but like when people, so like pre-quarantine, like, you know, some people would just like cancel plans or like whatever. And like, I've been seeing like a lot of different memes that are like, oh man, like I'm not going to cancel plans again and da-da-da-da, like all that stuff. But I'm just like, why was that ever a thing? You know, like, why? Like, why was that okay to just cancel, you know? Like, I don't know. It just makes me so sad that, like, it took a worldwide pandemic for people to, like, realize that what they were lacking true community and, like, being flaky and, like, you know, like, it's just it's not healthy for anybody. So I'm thankful that it happened, but I'm just like, why does it take all this, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so one last question, or not really a question, but I just want you to give just one piece of encouragement to the audience and the people listening.
That's good. I think for me, something I need to hear often is pursuing connection and community with others is terrifying, and it's a scary endeavor because it requires vulnerability, it requires courage, it requires you to show up as your authentic self. So showing yourself grace when fear of rejection is really loud is really important, but also understanding that giving people the honor of knowing you truly is an honor. Yeah. And like, we can choose isolation and we can choose loneliness, but we can also choose connection and community with others. And so understanding that giving people the honor of knowing you really is just that. And so it's kind of understanding that fear of rejection is loud, but also understanding that true connection and community can come on the other side of that. And I think the risk is worth it.
Yeah, it is for sure. It's definitely scary to put ourselves out there, but it's so fun in the long run, and the Lord does so much with it. So
yes,
just want to thank you for hopping on. I love this conversation, and our next one coming after this, just about community and connection. It's something that we need to hear more about, just as a culture, because we don't do it well. But I know that that's something that the Lord is doing in this season, because we've realized that we have a lack of it. So I believe that He's going to use us, and I'm just super excited for it. So thank you again for having me.
Thank you. I am so appreciative that you had me on, and I'm so thankful to you that you gave me this opportunity. So thank you so much. And I look forward so much to our conversation about connection. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited already. So.
Thank you for listening to the Fearlessly Fit Faith podcast. Our hope is that you found something that you can take through your day, your week, your month, and your year that will help you move from striving to thriving in what the Lord has for you. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share this with a friend on social media or through text, and also leave a comment and subscribe to the podcast on whatever listening platform that you use.